This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for May 19th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off today with comments and stories from the hits and takes section of JLN. Intercontinental Exchange sure likes bond-related technology, especially when it involves data and analytics. Its latest endeavor is an investment in BondLink, a financial technology company that provides cloud-based debt management software solutions to governments financing infrastructure in the $4 trillion municipal bond market. While we are on the subject of ICE, the exchange set a new open interest record of 47 million contracts on May 17th. Its TTF natural gas futures reach an all-time high open interest of approximately 1.93 million contracts. Today, the World Federation of Exchanges, or WFE, published its annual derivatives markets analysis, analyzing the trends in the exchange-traded markets in 2020. In a sure sign of an improving economy, Stanford University is reinstating 11 of its sports teams, with improvement in the market and, quote, individuals stepping up with fundraising pledges, the school changed course, adding back sports including men's and women's fencing, co-ed, and women's sailing and squash, the school said Tuesday in a statement. So let's get back to squashing, sailing, and fencing already. Our sponsor, Vermiculus, signed a new agreement to provide its microservice-based clearing solution to a leading market operator in America. Vermiculus Clearing Solution is an elastically scalable, AI-powered, real-time clearing system. They even say its microservices architecture allows for deployment for a selection of microservices and applying changes on the fly. This is the first I've ever heard of a system platform on flies. A better idea would have been to power it with cicadas this summer. Just kidding. Gabriel Frediani has been hired as head of European expansion and strategy and execution by BondIQ, a central marketplace for U.S. corporate bonds. Frediani has previously been with Katana Labs, Elexium, and MTS, where he was the head of markets and responsible for bond trading activity on all 17 MTS markets in Europe. The Chicago Federal Reserve is looking for a vice president of public affairs. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Today, we have an interview with Leo Melamed about his new book, Man of the Futures. I interviewed Leo over Zoom with him in his office full of honors and awards for his long and fruitful career promoting futures trading around the world. Leo's next book is a follow-up of his science fiction book, The Tenth Planet. This novel will be about aliens. I can't wait. My daughter Catherine is working this summer in West Virginia at the Boy Scouts Bechtel Family Summit. She is responsible for working with the scout leaders on the blue cards for the merit badge program. She embarked on a 3-day training session to earn a certificate for Leave No Trace that involves a trek down the New River. It is some of the best whitewater rafting in the eastern U.S. My jealousy is only surpassed by my pride. She is quite the adventurer. Joseph Schifano, Global Head of Regulatory Affairs at Aventis, has a blog post in RegTech's Insight called Surveillance 2.0, Turn Up the Signal, Wipe Out the Noise, about the regulatory requirement for systemic market abuse monitoring. The FIA held a webinar earlier this morning, UK-EU Rebuilding a Relationship, that included some not-too-optimistic observations by panelists about euro clearing. According to a Reuters report on the event, Robert Bouge, ABN's Clearing Chief Executive Europe described a forced euro location policy as a serious concern that could happen when the European Commission's temporary equivalence with the UK ends next year in June 2022. For more details on the Reuters story, you can find a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Here's the video about Leo Melamed. Leo Melamed is man of the futures. Leo Melamed has lived a life worthy of multiple autobiographies, and he has now written his latest, The Man of the Futures. The book encompasses all that occurred in his life and work since 1996 when he published Escape to the Futures. A lot has happened in that quarter of a century, and many of Melamed's dreams and predictions have been realized. To view this video, you can find it on John Lothian News. Here's the press release from Intercontinental Exchange. Intercontinental Exchange makes strategic investment in BondLink, provides expanded data and analytics to the municipal bond issuer community. Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., a leading global provider of data technology and market infrastructure, today announced it has made a strategic investment in BondLink, a financial technology company that provides cloud-based debt management software solutions to governments financing infrastructure in the $4 trillion municipal bond market. The Series B investment is designed to accelerate BondLink's growth and product development, including providing a variety of ICE market-leading data sets to municipalities as they prepare to issue bonds. My comment, ICE keeps getting closer and closer to the customer. Here is a story from Bloomberg. Sexy Tea, The Lion King, and Taiwan's Lost Innocence, COVID complacency, and rebellious retirees have seen the bubble burst on one of the pandemic's greatest success stories. After 15 months leading the world as a case study in epidemic management, Taiwan's bubble has burst. In just 1 week, the case count for COVID-19 infections spiked by more than 40%, and it's likely that figure will keep climbing in coming days. Compared to India, which reported 311,170 new cases on Sunday alone, Taiwan's 784 in a week is minuscule. Yet the sudden surge, bringing total cases to 2017 by Monday, forced authorities to implement unprecedented restrictions and has people wondering what went wrong. My comment, what went wrong? Here's a story from the Financial Times. How much is a tree worth? Investors seek to build a market for nature. Researchers are working to value the natural world to fuel new green investment initiatives. Wall Street is built on trading in stocks and bonds. Now it is turning its attention to the financial value of the natural world and how to fit that value into investment strategies. That has left academics puzzling over weighty questions like, what is a bee worth? My comment, Harlan Tenpence once answered the question of how much a tree was worth for me. He was a scoutmaster at summer camp with his troop of Boy Scouts, and a couple of them cut down a couple of trees as part of a wilderness survival merit badge, for which they had to build a structure to protect themselves from the elements overnight. Unfortunately for the scouts, that was a very bad decision, as living things are supposed to be left living. Leave no trace is a key tenet in scouting, but that doesn't mean leave no trace of the living tree. The scouts were fined about $350 each for the trees they cut down. Harlan shared a lot of great scouting stories with me when I visited him to talk about my taxes when he was at RSM. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Masks are off and nobody recognizes each other. Freshly unmasked coworkers create surprise confusion. Huh? That's not what I expected. Katana Scannell arrived at work at Sam's Club in Athens, Georgia, early Friday morning before opening hours and headed to the back of the store. She was greeted by a young woman walking the other way. Good morning, Katana. Miss Scannell, who is 21, felt baffled and unsure who the person was. I was like, hi. My comment, the advantage of being tall is people who remember me for my height rather than for my face. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our most clicked story Tuesday was the day oil went negative. These unlikely traders made $660 million, a video from Bloomberg. Second was the press release from the Small Exchange. The Small Exchange introduces small U.S. crude oil futures. Third was John Lothian's video interview with Donnie Roberts. Small Exchange CEO Donnie Roberts excited by first year of trading. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.